All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest. We've had her on several times this season, and very important to have her on now that the minor league season is winding down. Melissa Lockard, she covers the Giants farm system for The Athletic. Melissa, how are you on this fine Sunday morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. We've made it to the end of the 120-game season for most of the levels, which is hard to believe given the stretch a lot of these guys have had to go through.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, especially with the season not happening at all in 2020, such an important year for minor league baseball, and I think that that's why the Giants are so thrilled that the low-A San Jose Giants, high-A Eugene Emeralds are both pushing toward the postseason, and that some of their most valuable, most prized prospects are going to be getting that key playoff experience here come the final weeks of September, Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, their lower levels have just been outstanding. I mean, really, the whole system has played well, but the lower levels in particular have shown a ton of promise, even going all the way down to the Arizona Complex League and the Dominican Summer League. But those Eugene and San Jose teams have been really dynamic from the start of the season, even as they've moved new players in and out of the lineup. So well-deserved a playoff berth for both of them, and there's a really good chance they'll both be taking home championship rings.
You know, throughout this season, we've asked you about the Giants' top prospects. We've looked closely at Marco Luciano, Luis Matos, Kyle Harrison. But one thing that I really wanted to do, and this is something that you did such an excellent job of in your most recent story for The Athletic on the Giants farm system, is highlight some of the under-the-radar names who've really put themselves on the prospect map with the season that they've had in 2020. And the first name who stands out to me, Melissa, David Villar, third baseman at AA Richmond, setting the new franchise record in Richmond for single-season home runs. This is someone the Giants are going to have to make a tough call on in the Rule 5 draft this offseason.
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who played really well sort of under the radar for San Jose when it was a high A affiliate back in 2019. And then, you know, like so many of those players, was really hurt by not having a season to build off of that in 2020. But, you know, good power to all fields. It seems like his approach even improved over his 2019 season. You know, this year, Richmond's a really tough ballpark to be a power hitter in, and he showed he could reach the seats even in that big ballpark. And he's a good defender, too, really smooth at third base, got a strong arm, could also play some first base if you need him to. So, you know, somebody that they could really, you know, look at as a potential replacement for Longoria in a couple of years, or is somebody that might be, you know, of interest in a trade if they think they can't keep him on their 40-man roster and they think he'd get picked in the Rule 5 draft. So really intriguing player.
Yeah, let's go through this Rule 5 draft process and explain to the listeners exactly what it means, what players need to be protected, because, you know, these rules are very complicated. But David Villar, maybe a few months ago, he was someone the Giants maybe would have left off their 40-man roster this offseason. Now it looks like they might have to make a decision to keep him, given what he has done this year at AA Richmond.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of difficult decisions to make because they do have such a deep 40-man roster already. You know, basically, in a nutshell, you know, players who are over the age of 19 when they sign their first professional contract are eligible for the Rule 5 draft starting 3 years after they've signed. So the draft class of 2018 for college players would be the you know, sort of the kind of back of the napkin way of looking at that. And then high school players, or, you know, players that are signed overseas that are, you know, 18, 17, 16, they're eligible after 4 seasons. So you're looking at 2017 high school players and international signing class. So, of course, the Giants had pretty good classes for their drafts and their international signings in 2018 and 2017. So there's a whole bunch of players that are going to be, you know, eligible for that draft. And, you know, it's not like every good player gets picked in the Rule 5 draft. You know, a big league team has to carry a player for their entire season on their 26-man roster. It's not easy to do that, especially with younger players. But there are good players that get lost in that draft every year. And certainly as the Giants kind of figure out what direction they're going to take this offseason, who they're going to protect and who they're going to have to leave unprotected for that draft will probably play into what sort of transactions they make.
No question. We already saw this impact the Giants at the trade deadline. To get Tony Watson, they sent Jose Marte and Ivan Armstrong out to the Angels. Those were two guys that they were not planning to protect in the Rule 5 draft. So that gives you a little more of an indication of how this process works. Melissa, another double-A hitter who has caught my eye this season, just with the raw power that he's shown, Diego Rinconas. I think when we think of Giants outfield prospects, we think Luis Matos, we think Jairo Pomares, but Rinconas might be the most advanced player so far just because he already is at double-A, and he's shown off tremendous power in a very tough hitter's environment, like you said.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because that was sort of the knock on him coming into this season. Great contact hitter, could really hit for average. Doesn't necessarily walk a whole lot, but really can hit the ball pretty much anywhere it's thrown. And the power really emerged this season because I think he had something like 3 or 4 home runs, averaging kind of coming into this season. But this year he started hitting for power with Eugene. It continued when he was with Richmond. And he's not, you know, fleet of foot, so he's not going to be your center field type, but certainly somebody who could hit for average and power is really intriguing. And he's only 22, which means he's really just sort of scratching the surface of his potential.
Another outfielder that I wanted to ask you about, and apologies if I mispronounce the last name, Ismael Munguia out of Nicaragua, I believe, up at High A Eugene. He has just been on a tear throughout the second half of the season, kind of leading things for the Eugene Emeralds. This is someone who he's kind of thrust himself onto the prospect radar, maybe not a major league caliber talent, but a fringy guy who maybe one day he can help a major league club in a few different ways as a role player.
Yeah, you know, he's fun because he does do everything really, really well. He also started to tap into a little more power than I think he'd seen. He's little, you know, I think he's about 5'10". Maybe he was listed at like 150. I'm sure he's a lot more than that now. But, you know, he's not going to be your, you know, big hulking kind of profile corner outfielder type, but he can run the ball down in center field. He's got good speed. Another guy like Rinconis, who can really touch the ball anywhere it's thrown. Great bat speed and a lot of high energy. You know, when you see him play, I think he's just somebody that sort of ignites things from the top of that order. So between him and Brett Auerbach, they've kind of had these two little kind of utility, interesting players at the top of that Eugene lineup for much of the season that, you know, have really kind of let the maybe higher profile prospects that are hitting behind them relax a little bit, because these are guys that are really working the pitchers hard at the top of the lineup. They're getting on base a ton and they're bringing a ton of energy. And I think these are the kind of guys, like, you know, you look at like a David Fletcher or something like that, who are coming up the minor leagues, maybe you wouldn't necessarily peg them to be these guys that are going to be impact big leaguers. And then, you know, they get to the big leagues and those skills of being able to be a big contact hitter, bringing that energy, having good speed on the bases really does help a team. So it's great to have players like that in your organization, and the Giants have a few of them.
I think you look at this Giants major league roster and you see you don't need necessarily be a top 15, top 20 prospect to make an impact at the major league level. Lamont Wade Jr., Mike Yastrzemski, obvious examples of that. Chatting with Melissa Locker, she does an outstanding job covering the Giants farm system for The Athletic. Melissa, a few pitchers I wanted to ask you about. I think throughout the season, Kyle Harrison at Low A San Jose, the De La Salle draftee last year, third round pick, he's taken all the headlines for what he's done, and deservedly so. But another pitcher from that 2020 draft for the Giants, Ryan Murphy, fifth round draft choice, he has had an outstanding year and certainly moved up the ranks in terms of starting pitchers in this organization.
Absolutely. And it was really good to see he got back on the mound this weekend. He had left a start earlier in the month with, I think it was like a lower back injury. So he was able to get back on the mound. I think he'll be available for them in the postseason. But 164 strikeouts in 107 and one third innings was just, you know, really jaw dropping. Went to Lemoyne, which is not necessarily your college powerhouse for pitching. I remember on the draft night, you know, they actually had on that 2020 draft show every single pick, which, you know, it's tough to get to round five for a lot of these guys to know every single player that's there. But they were really scrambling when the Giants selected Ryan Murphy in the fifth round. They didn't have any idea who he was. And he's shown that, you know, why the Giants were really high on him and why they were thrilled to be able to get him in that fifth round. So, yeah, I mean, he's really dominated the two A-ball levels this year. I think he'll start off in AA next year. And, you know, who knows, if he gets off to a good start, he could be AAA and then, you know, knocking on the big league door by the end of next season.
A few relief pitchers you highlighted in your most recent piece for The Athletic, Randy Rodriguez and Chris Wright. They're doing in the minor league system what the Giants are doing at the major league level out of the bullpen, and that is throwing strikes and pitching to contact and doing a nice job racking up strikeouts when they are in the zone. Randy Rodriguez and Chris Wright, what do you see as these guys' future?
Yeah, you know, Rodriguez is kind of reminds me a lot of like Kervin Castro in that, you know, got really good stuff. He didn't necessarily have the starter's background that Kervin did, but that same sort of thing where the stuff is good enough, the command is actually pretty advanced for a guy his age. And he has 101 strikeouts in 62 innings, so it tells you he can miss a few bats as well. But he can work multiple innings. He also can be a short inning reliever. And, you know, someone I think is really, you know, you've seen how like Camilo Duvall and Castro were able to come up and make an impact after basically being short season or low A pitchers in their last kind of minor league season. And he's a guy that might be able to move pretty quickly next year. You know, and then Chris Wright, you know, you're looking at a left-hander who misses bats, and he's a college pitcher, so he's a little more, you know, probably polished than maybe a Rodriguez who came, you know, from like that short season or Dominican levels. But, you know, he's 22, dominated the two A-ball levels he's pitched at this season. And again, yeah, exactly, commands the ball well. His background was his first baseman, you know, in college, so he doesn't actually have as many bullets, you know, in his arm that he hasn't used yet. So I think he's going to be kind of a guy to watch as he develops like some pitchability in addition to his raw stuff.
Oh, really interesting. I love the converted prospects. It's always interesting to see them move through the farm system and how quickly they can take to pitching, or, you know, if they transition to hitting that as well. Melissa Locker joining us. And one more for you before we let you go here, Melissa. The Giants, like I said, low A San Jose, high A Eugene, will be in the postseason. Any names you're watching, players who promoted to those rosters who might be able to make an impact down the stretch?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting, actually. Just today, the Giants promoted Averson Arteaga from their Arizona Complex League team to join the San Jose roster as a shortstop who, you know, put up huge numbers to start the season there. Cooled off a little bit in Arizona towards the end of that season, but a very dynamic player, someone I think that, you know, they brought over for, you know, the instructional league before he'd ever made his professional debut. So they were really high on him when they signed him out of the international free agent market. And I don't know how much he'll play necessarily with Jimmy Goenke and some of these other more seasoned guys up the middle in that series. But if he gets a chance to play at all, he'll be a really interesting player to watch.
Oh, great perspective as always. Melissa Lockard, thank you so much for joining us. And as always, I will look forward to reading your next piece on this Giants farm system. I consider it essential in covering the Giants. So thank you so much for the work you've done this season.
Really appreciate it, Carrie. Thank you.
All right, a lot more coming up next. Talking baseball, Marty, Bill, and Carrie. You're listening to KMBR 104.5, 680 The Sports Leader.